Bonjour everyone and welcome back to Casseline, the French football podcast with the accent. The name is Jeremy Magan. I'm your host and of course, as usual, I'm brought to you by Breaking the Lines. Jump on the Breaking the Lines website to read the latest article, whether it's how Warren Moore made Sheffield Wednesday into the well-oiled machine that he is, or how Crystal Palace ended up sacking Patrick Vieira, or two nice player profile, Fran Navarro from Gil Vicente that we say in Portuguese, and Evan Ferguson for Brighton. Go and check out breakingthelines.com and also all the podcasts that are released on our media. Of course, here today, we're talking about French football. We're talking about all the French football that happened on the weekend. And there was 10 games as usual and 10 games with their fair share of surprises and confirmation. It doesn't change too much on the table, if we're honest, but there was some results that, of course, surprised us. We're going to jump on it. Of course, there's 3-4 games that I've watched and that we're going to talk a bit more, and then we're going to go through the other results before this international break. Breaking the Lines, Casseline start now, but first, as usual, music. Of course, we have to start where it matters and where it hurts, maybe, from some French fans and for French football in general, potentially. And we're going to start at the Parc des Princes, where Paris Saint-Germain was hosting Rennes, and Paris Saint-Germain was not able to beat Rennes for the second time this season in Ligue 1, and twice Rennes was able to keep a clean sheet against the club of the capital. 2-0 was the final score for Rennes. Carl Toko Ekambi at the 45th minute and Arnaud Kalimuendo at the 48th minute, either side of the halftime break. Paris finished with 60% possession, 17 shots, 8 on target, but Paris finished under the boos and jeers of their own fans. And Rennes finished with 10 shots and 3 on target, 2 of them being goals. Of course, one of the stories of the game is with 8 shots on target, Paris Saint-Germain, well, they had in front of them a really inspired Steve Mandanda, who's not always inspired against Paris Saint-Germain. I shared on Twitter earlier today that I think it was on the 26th time that Mandanda has faced Paris with Marseille. He was only able to get 4 clean sheets, and yet with Rennes since the beginning of the season, he faced them twice, and he got 2 clean sheets out of it. So he's having a good ratio to season with playing Paris. Paris, I mean, this week there was a lot of talk about the off-the-field stuff, which is going to be the case for Paris Saint-Germain. We are used to it. You know, there was this rumor that Messi had left the training camp, supposedly unhappy, a rumor that, of course, everybody at the club denied and said that he just left because he felt a little bit injured, where other people who were supposedly at the scene allegedly said that he left because he wasn't happy with the training that Christophe Galtier was doing. I don't want to go into that too much, but there was a lot of talk, as usual. There was off-the-field talk for Paris Saint-Germain. On the field, when they came in, well, there were a few injuries. You know, most of their defense is basically at the infirmary. So the defense that Galtier had put on against Rennes was Danilo Pereira, Juan Bernat, and the young Bichiabu at the back three, and then Pembele on the right, Mendes on the left, Vitinha, Verratti, Fabian Ruiz in the middle, and Messi, Mbappe up front. Obviously, it didn't work out well for them, and we could see on both goals that, you know, if it's probably Juan Bernat and El Shaddai Bichiabu maybe a bit young and Bernat not used to play in this position, that made, I guess, costly mistakes for Paris Saint-Germain in the end. But also, they had the firepower to answer, and they didn't answer, thanks to some really special saves by Mandanda, but also thanks to just the lack of creativity and intensity put by Paris Saint-Germain in that second half. I mean, they had time to come back, and they didn't have that many opportunities. The few times that they could finally get into the box, Mandanda was there, but also they should have had, I guess, just many more opportunities. And besides Mbappe and Messi trying their chance once or twice, nobody else really found themselves in a dangerous position, which in itself is a whole issue for Paris Saint-Germain, despite Igo Ekitike coming in late in the second half. 2-0 was the final score, and Rennes scoring by Toko Ekambi, who's scoring for the first time since September 2022, and Arnaud Kalimuendo, the former Paris Saint-Germain Academy prospect, who was on loan for a couple of seasons at Lens, and then when Paris Saint-Germain was able to keep him, well, instead they decided to sell him to Turin, where now he scores against Paris. So it's not all nice for PSG, of course. Losing again in 2023, I think it's their seventh or eighth loss now. They lost twice to Rennes. We know that they lost to Marseille in Coupe de France, to Monaco, to Lens, of course, to Lille, Bayern twice. So it starts to be a lot. I mean, they're still comfortable, luckily for them, at the top of the table in Ligue 1. But there is still 10 games to play, and who knows what can happen in 10 games. There's 7 points different right now between them and Marseille, 10 points between them and Lens. If they don't bounce back quickly and get those wins, well, there could be some questions asked of Paris Saint-Germain in the next few weeks. They're going to play some teams from the bottom of the table, but they're also going to play Lyon. They're going to play against Lens. They have a couple of games that could be tricky for them if they don't prepare well, if they don't play better as a team. Basically, if they decide not to show up because they need to show what they're supposed to do. And well, unfortunately, we haven't seen much of that. Anyway, 2-0 was the final score at the Parc des Princes, it looked like Paris was definitely more interested in saying that Kim Kardashian was at the stadium than they were about the actual football, and maybe in itself that's what's going on in Paris these days. The football has become a little bit secondary to what's going on in and around the stadium. It's been the case for a few years, and maybe they need to refocus. Maybe one of the other stories of that game was the post-game conference that Christophe Galtier gave, where he just looked like it was just out of touch with what was actually going on, saying stuff like, so many players weren't here, and you have to feel for those players who prepare for the game, and then when they rock up on the Sunday, well, there's 7-8 kids from the academy that maybe they've only met once or twice. It's not the best way to prepare a game. I mean, I don't know why he even is saying that, because I'm not too sure what that has to do with anything. They're a team that is good enough to be able to win any of those games, and worst comes worst, he should be a better coach and prepare his players better and his young players better as well to come in and help if needed. So blaming it all on the young players and on the injuries, I think it was just a bit clumsy more than it was like really targeted at the young players. But it looked like he's starting to feeling the pressure, Christophe Galtier, and they're saying that they're not going to get him out before the end of the season. But I think if another one or two losses happen between now and the end of the season, there might be some real questions asked of Christophe Galtier, who already is definitely not having a great campaign with his first year on the bench at Paris Saint-Germain. The second on the table, Marseille, won. They didn't win with the best of ways, but they won 2-1 in Reims, interrupting that extraordinary, unstoppable undefeated series from Reims, who hadn't lost in 19 games. That was, of course, their longest unbeaten run ever in Ligue 1. Last time they had lost was against Monaco on September 18th, and then they lost 2-1 now. Marseille, who's now at 59 points in Ligue 1 after 28 games, and it's the best they've done in the 21st century, which is pretty impressive. I think they've only done once better in their life. I think it was that 98-99 season under Roland Courbis, when they finished second, and maybe actually a few years back in the 70s, they might have done better than this. So it's a pretty special season for Igor Tudor and his men. As far as the game itself against Reims, I'd say it was well paid for Marseille to get that 2-1 win. The first goal scorer was Follarin Balogun, of course, who else, for Reims, scoring at the 13th minute, and then Alexis Sanchez equalized on penalty, on a free kick, excuse me, it did feel like a penalty, on free kick at the 16th minute, and then scored thanks to an assist from Paulo Lopez at the 29th minute, a doublé for the Chilean striker. Reims finished with 56% possession, 19 shots, 6 on target. Marseille, 12 shots, 5 on target. And Reims, who hit the post twice as well. So really 8 clear chances at scoring, and they only scored once. And they were very dangerous. And Marseille, I said it, the first goal came off a free kick. The second goal came off a bit of a freak, long ball from Paulo Lopez that the Reims defense didn't really judge well. And Alexis Sanchez, with his experience, was able to take care of it, take advantage of it. But other than that, Marseille wasn't really impressive in the football that we were playing. They defended well and they were happy to defend. But I think I was more impressed by Reims tactically than I was by Marseille. And even technically, I mean, there's a stat that I don't see often for Marseille, 72% pass accuracy when usually they're way above 80. It shows that they struggled and that they had a hard time really resisting against that Reims team, who was strong in the duels and who was really asking questions of that Marseille team and really pushing them to the brink. I mean, I have to say that, you know, a few times, Gigot, Rongier, Mbemba, Veretout, they were really flirting with some dangerous foul in and around the box, and there were never a penalty whistled against them, but there was a couple of opportunities where if the referee had gone to the VAR and whistled, I'm thinking about, like, at one point there's a clear clear holding of a player in the box, which was whistled last week in one of the games, but it's whistled like once a blue moon, the referee decided to look at them and give them away, like they gave it away to Alexis Sanchez last week. Reims probably would have deserved a bit better. I think Munetzi, Matsuziwa were quite impressive in the middle. Flips and Ito were combining well whenever they were playing on the same side or even on opposite side. Reims wasn't really in trouble a lot, wasn't really under pressure a lot. There was a moment after Sanchez scored the second goal where Reims felt a little bit scared, and for probably about half an hour either side of the halftime break, they were a bit more timid. They were a bit more making sure that they don't concede the third goal, but then they started pushing again and putting Marseille on the back foot. And it was a hard-fought win for Marseille. And I think it's been the case for a few weeks now, and that's why it wasn't surprising when they lost against Paris Saint-Germain. But Marseille isn't playing their best football, not as shiny and smooth as it was at the beginning of the season. They're still getting the result, which is what matters, and we can see at the end of the game as the way Tudor and his assistants are celebrating, that it's obviously very important for them to get the results, and they want to finish second on the table, if not above. But it's not, I think, that joy, that overwhelming joy that they're feeling. It's probably because they're seeing that on the pitch they are not necessarily the better team these weeks, and I think that international break is going to do Marseille a world of good to get back on track. For Reims, it's an unfortunate defeat. As I said, they probably deserve to get a point, so they could have extended that unbeaten run, but I think Will Steele said it very well in the post-game conference. Losing against a team like Marseille is no thing to be ashamed of, and they really leveled with Marseille all game, so that kind of shows how good Reims is under Will Steele and how great they are tactically and technically. And a loss in 20 games is, again, nothing to be ashamed of, and they're just going to keep going at it. And he didn't talk about trying to go for Europe. They are right now 7 points away from Rennes, fifth. But, you know, who knows if they can make it. I'm sure they're not going to hesitate to try and pursue it. If they play the way they played against Marseille between now and the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if they are there knocking at the door of the Europa Conference League spot. Marseille 2, Reims 1, and Marseille keep their second place on the table. They had lost that second spot for just over 24 hours to Lens. Lens, who had won 3-0 at home against, of course, Angers. We shouldn't be surprised that Angers is losing. No disrespect to my friends who support Angers, Thomas, namely. He's the one that I know for sure that is an Angers supporter through and through. But it looks like as soon as they come on the pitch, the 3 points can be given to the other team these days. And it's a shame because there is talent in that team. It's just talent that is struggling to express itself. Lens, who was playing with a bit of a particularity. The name in the back of the jersey wasn't the name of the players, but it was rather the name of their teammates. So Fofana was called Leka. Sorry, I couldn't remember for a second. Fofana was called Leka, and Fulgini was called Thomason, and Openda had somebody else's name. So they all had like different names in the back of their shirts, sort of like to... I guess, as an action against racism, and to sort of say that everyone is one and the same, and which is a great message, and it's very good that Lens is doing it. We don't see often, teams doing little actions like this, and I thought it was really well thought. That also worked out well for them. For the first time, we've seen somebody wearing the shirt Leka scoring a goal in Liga. It was Seko Fofana scoring at the 26 minutes before Luis Openda went on with a brace at the 30th. And 46 minutes, Lens, who dominated the game, sort of, not necessarily in possession, and the possession shows 55% for Angers, but 12 shots, 6 on target for Lens, while Angers only had 3 shots and 1 on target. Angers really struggled to break that defense and really struggled in the last third. And you know, and once Lens had scored the two goal in the first half, then they started sort of like slowing down a little bit. And then the third goal early in the second half really killed the game. And then they kind of let Angers try and build something, which they were struggling to, while Lens was trying to hit them in counter-attack and had a couple of chances between Sotoka or Frankowski to surprise them. Again, the tactical genius of Frank Hez was showcased when, after 20 minutes, Lens was struggling a little bit, and then Frank Hez decided to change a couple of things. Frankowski was on the right, went on the left. Sotoka went down and played right wing back instead of playing a sort of a right side number 10, leaving Thomasson and Fulgini just behind, opened out. All those changes really worked well for Lens, and they were, you know, rewarded a few minutes later with the goal from Fofana, and just after opened out, scored as well. So they really posed some problems to Angers, who is unfortunately definitely condemned to go to Ligue 2 next season. Angers, it's not mathematically done yet, but everything else is. They're 14 points away from Brest, the first team that's outside of the relegation zone, but they only have 10 points in 28 games, which is pretty terrible, unfortunately, for them. Lens, with that win, had taken the second spot, like I said, from Marseille for about 24 to 48 hours, and then Marseille winning means Lens is back on the third place, but they are 3 points away from Monaco and 7 points away from Rennes, so they are keeping their spot nice and warm and keeping the pressure up on Marseille. The first game of the weekend was Lyon against Nantes, and it started with a bang, with Castelo Luqueba scoring an own goal after 2 minutes, Kakure losing the ball in his own half, and then Nantes attacking. Riou made the save in front of Mostafa Mohamed, but unfortunately for Lyon, that save went straight into the chest of Luqueba, who then dropped it to his own goal and wasn't able to stop it. Lacazette answered at the 24th minute, and from there it looked like Lyon was about to take it home, yet they were not able to score anymore, and the game stayed 1-1. Lyon finished with 67% possession, 11 shots, 6 on target, 11 shots as well for Nantes, and 5 on target. And like I said, for the first half, it really looked like Lyon was doing the effort that they needed to do. They had the opportunity, they just couldn't put the ball past Lafont, and the second half was just a little bit more chaotic, a little bit less organized. It looked like it was an injury at the time. I don't think it was eventually. They just said it was some fatigue. Seeing Lacazette going out at the hour mark definitely didn't help. And when Cherki and Dembélé came in, well, they didn't help Lyon much in their quest for a win at home. So another disappointed result really for Lyon, who could kind of try and take advantage of it and try and get some momentum. But instead, it's a third draw in a row, and it's just a really slow movement on the table. They are bang in the middle, 10th with 41 points in 28 games. It's just not a season that is materializing itself into something positive for Lyon, and we are seeing it week in, week out. Like I said, they were pushing enough, and that goal from Lacazette is important because it made him the second best goal scorer in the history of Lyon. He's getting above Bernard Lacombe with that goal, but unfortunately for Les Gones, that wasn't enough against the team coached by Comboiré, who defended really well and who also had some quite talented player on. Giroto, Mollet, Guessant were really inspired. I think during that game, Mollet at one point did that little flick. If you guys haven't seen that game, just Google or go on Twitter to check that Mollet little flick over the player near his own box, and ask for a lot of cold blood to do that. But he did it well. And Nantes with that point, well, they start slowly, point by point, getting away from that relegation zone, getting into a safe spot. They're doing it slowly. They have only 30 points, and 23 is Auxerre, the first relegated team for now. But it's 2 draw in a row after losing 3, so it is positive for Nantes. It's I'm sure getting a point at the OL Groupama is something that Nantes would sign for any day. So it's just about continuing on that momentum and taking advantage of those points taken away from home. Next up was a game at the Allianz Riviera in the south. Nice was hosting Lorient, and the final score was 1-1. The goal scorer, Abdoul Bamou Meite, first for Lorient, young player, who scored at the half-hour mark, and Gaëtan Laborde answered a bit later at the 77th minute quite later, actually. The game finished with Nice with 54% possession, 16 shots, only one on target, the goal, and Lorient with 9 shots and 3 on target. A couple of controversial calls during that game. I think Nice probably thought they deserved at least a penalty on that handball into the box, and there was other, I guess, contacts that could have been controversial and calls that didn't make the Nice fans too happy. But Nice, you know, they keep their unbeaten run. They keep doing well under Didier Digard. They just sometimes miss a little bit of that danger up front. I feel like for the first three games that Digard was here, Laborde was exploding and it was Mophie's turn. And now Mophie wasn't here this weekend, so Nicolas Pepe was playing up front next to Laborde. And although Laborde scored a great goal, there's just a little bit less impact than we used to see at the bottom end, at the top end, excuse me, for Nice right now. And it's something that I'm sure they want to rectify before the end of the season. Todibo and Thuram were rewarded of their excellence then with Nice by a call to the French national team, which is great to see. For Lorient, you know, that goal from Meite is great for the youngster, but I think what's also pretty good is the assist came from Romain Fèvre. Romain Fèvre, who has 3 goals and 3 assists since he joined Lorient at the Winter Mercato, which is a good way for him to, I guess, rekindle the flame of his success in Ligue 1. He was great at Brest before he signed for Lyon, and then it didn't work out too well at the OL Groupama. Good for him that he's finding a second breath of fresh air back in Brittany. 1-1, the final score between Nice and Lorient, and a score that, you know, didn't make either happy on the table because they are both stuck at 44 points, and so everybody else in front of them winning and putting some much unwanted air between them and the European spots. One of those teams that took advantage of those results was Monaco, who was traveling to Corsica and won 2-0. The goal scorer, Wissam Ben Yedder at the 27 minutes and Crepin Diatta at the 84th. Monaco, who really did the strict minimum. Ben Yedder score after Leroy had done a pretty extraordinary save on a header by Maripan, and unfortunately for the Corsican goalkeeper, Ben Yedder was the fastest to pounce. And then Ajaccio got red carded at the 53rd minute. Cyril Balaya being sent to the locker room, and Monaco just, like I said, just did the strict minimum, didn't push too hard, tried to keep the ball. It wasn't really pretty to watch. I've seen Monaco play way better than this. I think they're still sort of like reeling from last week's results. But eventually they were able to score at the 84th minute. There was not even like a great show of happiness when they scored that second goal, but at least they've made it. They won. They keep in touch with Marseille and Lens up front. They also celebrated Wissam Ben Yedder becoming the third player only in Ligue 1's history for Monaco to reach 80 goals after Dello Onis and Lucien Kossou. And of course, he is right now the best goal scorer in the top 5 league since the World Cup break. He scored 11 goals since the World Cup ended, so a pretty good result for Ben Yedder. For Ajaccio, that loss, of course, is not good news. They are trying to get out of that relegation zone. They are 19th at the table right now with 21 points, 3 points away from Brest. Luckily for them, everybody in that bottom table had negative results this weekend, of course, except Strasbourg, that we'll talk about later. Monaco 2, Ajaccio 0 was the final score in Corsica. Toulouse and Lille were playing against each other, and it was a fantastic game that almost finished on a fantastic 0-0 until Lille scored twice at the 85th and 101st minute. How about that? It looks like we are doing the World Cup special as far as injury time goes. Alexandro, the defender, scored on a corner at the 85th minute, and Mohamed Bayo, with a bit of a missile at the 101st minute, doubled the mark for Lille. 54% possession for Lille, 18 shots, 5 on target, 16 shots for Toulouse, 4 on target, end-to-end stuff during that game. And we know how good Toulouse is, and we know how great Lille has been playing. They have just struggled to win, basically. And so they'll be happy that they were able to get the results in Toulouse this weekend. Toulouse, who really resisted for a long time, Nicolaisen, I'm sure people have seen that tackle by now, tackling at one point almost on his line to deny Lille from the first goal. But it's unfortunately not working out for Patrice Garand and his player, who are seeing probably now that they are not going to be relegated. They got 35 points, but those four losses in the past five games might have sort of like ended their dream of maybe going into the first half of the table by the end of the season. For Lille, it was an important win, you know, with Marseille, Lens, Monaco and Rennes winning this weekend. If they hadn't won, well, they would have been sort of like left out. And now they're just with 49 points, 1 point behind Rennes and 5 points behind Monaco. So they're still up there to try and challenge everybody for the European spot until the end of the season. To look a little bit at the bottom of the table, Troyes and Brest were playing against each other and it finished 2-2 at the Stade de l'Aube. Troyes was still struggling to get results. The first goal scorer was Pierre Lesmelou at the 30th minute before an equalizer by Renaud Ricpart at the 34th and Ronny Lopez scoring at the 38th to give Troyes a deserved advantage. Unfortunately for them, a bit of inexperience in their back line and a tackle by young Tanguy Zoukrou in the box gave Brest a penalty that Del Castillo was only too happy to convert at the 74th minute. 2-2 was the final score, and Troyes, who's just struggling to get out of that slump that they're in, they are 18th on the table with 21 points, level with Ajaccio, and Brest are still 3 points ahead of them. It would have been a good opportunity for Troyes to come up, and Brest missed also the opportunity to put some much-needed air between them and the relegation zone. Montpellier are pushing that relegation zone away with that 2-1 win over Clermont. Clermont, who had scored first at the half-hour mark by Saif Aydin Khaoui, and then Elie Wahi, the young striker from Montpellier, scoring twice at the 61st and 72nd minute to secure the win for Der Zakarian, who definitely is succeeding in his comeback to La Mosson. 23 shots, 9 on target for Montpellier, 57% possession. And for Clermont, 16 shots, 8 on target. I mean, Der Zakarian is just blowing hot and cold whenever he changes club. He uses us to play forward and then he defends a bit. Then he plays forward, then he defends a bit. And now back with Montpellier, he's really going for a more forward-thinking mind. And against Clermont, which is a team who love to play football, well, that would have given a spectacular result. Montpellier, with this win, like I said, have now 36 points. So they are pulling the relegation zone really far away from them. And they've also taken over Clermont, who was a point above them before the game. And they are now, I don't know if they're looking up, they are 5 points behind Lyon, who stands, but at least they can see the last 10 games with a bit more, I guess, a bit more respite, a bit more reassurance. The last game of the weekend was definitely about relegation. It was Strasbourg and Auxerre playing against each other, a duel that, you know, whoever loses would have been pretty sad for the end of the game. And it's Strasbourg who got the bag, I should say. Jorginho Niamsi scoring at the 5th minute and Habib Diallo at the 85th minute. 13 shots for Strasbourg, 6 on target, 2 goals, 51% possession. And for Auxerre, 8 shots, 1 on target. And one of those stats that kind of tell you what game it was. The pass accuracy, 70% for Strasbourg and 68% for Auxerre. So basically, one every 3 passes during that game was missed. And that kind of sort of tells you what kind of game it was. Unfortunately, there was a bit of that. There was some good moments, but it's two teams that are really struggling in the final third. And I really saw that this weekend. But at the end of the day, a good win for Strasbourg, who was leveled with Auxerre at 23 points before that game. And now they have 3 points ahead of their opponents and are 3 points away from the relegation zone. So I'm sure they'll be happy with this. The team coached by Antonetti, and they will want to keep that momentum going. For Auxerre, well, there was only so much they could do on those 2 goals, a shot from distance from Niamsi and Diallo within the box. They had opportunities to reduce the score and to even equalize before the second goal was scored, but unfortunately it didn't take them, and that'll prove costly for them in the end if they can't get better results. That's the 10 Ligue 1 games of the week gone, and now we're on to an international break with France playing their qualification for the Euro 2024. On the table, Paris is at the top, of course, with 66 points, followed by Marseille, 59, Lens, 57, Monaco, 54, and then Rennes and Lille have 50 and 49 points before there's a bit of a gap to get Nice and Lorient at 44 points. At the bottom, Angers with 10 points is, of course, all the way down. Ajaccio and Troyes are the next team with 21 points. Auxerre 23, Brest 24, and Strasbourg 26 are still concerned by relegation battles. The goal scoring ladder, Walcott and David and Mbappe are still up front with 19 goals each, followed by Lacazette, Balogun and Ben Yedder, all scorers on the weekend, 17 goals each. Again, a really good goal scoring race this season, and hopefully it'll keep going for the next 10 games in the assist ladder. Messi is still at the top with 13 assists, followed by Neymar, 11. Like I said, a international break going on right now for another 10 days or so. So there won't be, maybe there might be an episode next week, but I'll see. I might be something doing something special with an old friend. But Ligue 1 is back on April 1st, and that's not a joke. April 1st here in Australia, actually March 31st in France. Marseille, Montpellier will be the start of match day 29, and then some crucial games for the bottom of the table: Auxerre against Troyes, Clermont against Ajaccio, and for the top of the table, some cool little duels as well. Rennes will play Lens, Lille will play against Lorient, Paris will play against Lyon, and the other game of the weekend, Monaco will play Strasbourg, Brest will play against Toulouse, and Nantes will play Reims, while Nice travels to Angers. Casser les lignes is over for this week. Thank you for following, listening. Feel free to, you know, give me your feedback, ask any question. Let me know if you disagree with what I think about what's going on in Ligue 1 right now. But for sure, keep watching French football, keep watching Ligue 1, and hit me up if you have any question. Thanks, guys. See you in 2 weeks.